Romans chapter 3 and verses 21 down through 26. It says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." And let's take another moment to look to the Lord in word of prayer. Father, we thank you once again for your word. We thank you for this time to come and to be at home church, Lord. We just pray that you'd bless our time together today, that you would, mostly that you would just meet with us, that you would take your word and that you would apply it to our hearts. You would give us that close encounter with yourself as we heard about in the devotion. And Father, that's what we need. Father, even as we open your word, we need you to open it up to us. We need you to teach us from it and give us all the things that we need today. And we thank you for all that you do, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the lesson I want to bring today is about the just salvation of God. Many have an idea about salvation that is not in agreement with the nature of God, with the character of God, with the holiness of God. God is just in all his dealings. He is holy, he is just, and everything he does must be in agreement with his holiness. And so a lot of people have this idea that, you know, I'm a good person, I'm a pretty good person, and someday when I die, I'm going to, you know, God's going to let me slide. You know, he's a loving, he's a forgiving God, he's going to let me slide. And people love to focus on the love of God, which is nothing wrong with focusing on that. But we have to realize that God is also holy and that he is just. And so that he never does anything that disagrees with his own nature. And so the salvation of God is a just salvation. There is just cause for our salvation. There is a just way that we can be forgiven. And that is through the person of Jesus Christ, we know. But we want to look at this today from the scriptures. It is very important that we understand this and are able to communicate this to people. How is it that we can be forgiven justly? And we want to look at that a little bit today. So, how can God justly let the guilty go free? If God is holy and just and good, and I am sinful and guilty and bad, how can I be forgiven? Will God make an exception in my case? Will God overlook my sin? Will God judge me differently than the countless multitudes who have died in their sins and gone to hell before me? The answer to these questions is vital to a proper understanding of salvation and the forgiveness of God. So, first of all, as we have mentioned, God is holy. We need to understand that. God is holy. That is his chief attribute. That is, he is holy. And so 1 John, let's look there for a minute. 1 John and chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." I mean, this is an expression of his holiness, of his perfection, of his purity. There is no blemish in God. There is no spot. There is not a speck of darkness in the person of God. And so he cannot do anything that is outside of that nature of light. And he will not make any exceptions for any reason. But this is, again, the chief attribute of God. And nothing that God does contradicts his holiness. Therefore, God will never clear the guilty without just cause. Let's go back to Exodus for a minute. Exodus 34. Exodus 34. This Exodus 34 is a good scripture that goes right along with these ideas. How can God forgive and yet he doesn't let the guilty go free? But we're finding the answer to that in our text. But Exodus 34 and verses 6 through 7. It says, "And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. So we see he's merciful and he forgives iniquity and transgression and sin. He's declaring this is who he is. This is an attribute of God, is his great mercy and grace and salvation. We see those things. Forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, that by no means, and that by no means clear the guilty. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. So he says, and that by no means clear the guilty. So it's like, okay, so he doesn't clear the guilty, and yet he forgives. How does he do that? How does he make us not guilty? Okay, I guess that's what we're looking for today. How do we become not guilty? Because we are guilty as sinners. We're guilty. Outside of Jesus Christ, I'm guilty. I'm guilty of sin. And so how do I become not guilty? You know, that we need to know that. We need to be able to tell other people that. How can you become not guilty, you know, before God? That's what we need to know. How can we be forgiven? But this is that first thing that we must understand about God's salvation is he is holy. He is just. He is light, and he will never do anything that goes contrary to that nature of holiness, to his perfect justice. And so we need to understand, how can we be made just? How can we be made right? How can we be made not guilty in the sight of God? And so next thing we want to consider is that God's judgment is not like man's judgment. People think God is like they are. They think that, well, I wouldn't judge me like that, so God won't judge me like that. And I view myself like this, so God must view me like that too. And we estimate our standing before God, you know, in our own idea of what we think we are. We think, well, I'm a pretty good person. I'm not so bad. Well, so God must think I'm a pretty good person, not so bad. But we're not judging ourselves according to the standard of holiness, according to the standard of God's word. That is a grave error. To think that God is going to judge us the way that we would judge ourselves. I mean, just think about it. We're so lenient in our own judgment toward ourselves. You know, you look at yourself and say, yeah, it's not so bad. You look in the next guy beside you, oh, that's terrible, doing the same thing. Or something not so bad, I can't believe that. We are not equal in our judgment, but God is perfect in judgment. And so we need to understand the judgment of God. It's not like our judgment. Psalm 50, let's go there for a minute. Psalm 50 and verse 16 and through 22. It says, but unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth? Seeing thou hatest instruction, and castest my words behind thee, when thou sawest the thief, then thou consentest with him, and hast been partaker with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest I was altogether such an one as thyself. But I will reprove thee, and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. I mean, that's a very, very, very strong, fearful statement of God, that his judgment is much different than ours, and he will judge us much differently than we judge ourselves. And we have this idea that God is like me, and he's going to judge me like I would. But no, he is not. He is not like us. He is holy. He is separate. He is much higher and different than man and our corrupt judgment. And so it is a great error to think that God will judge us like we would judge ourselves. In Jeremiah 17, let's go there for a minute. And so these two thoughts are very important to establish. These are the basic ideas that people have of how they're going to slide into heaven. You know, people think, well, you know, God's loving and he'll forgive me and I'm just going to slide by. No, because God is holy and he's not going to judge you the way that you would judge you. And so these are the basic things, the basic wrong ideas that people have. But Jeremiah 17, and verse 9, says, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Not a one of us here today really know our hearts. We don't know ourselves the way we think we do. Only God knows our hearts truly, because our hearts are always telling us, oh, you're not so bad. it isn't so bad as that. You know, in our heart has this way of lifting us up to make us feel a little better about ourselves than we really are. And just slanting the truth a little bit in our direction. We'll just slant it a little bit our way. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. See, that's the judgment of God. It's just, it's true, it's perfect. God will give us according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. And outside of Jesus Christ, that fruit of our doings and according to our ways is that of sin. And it's that of judgment. And it's that of death and hell and eternal condemnation. That is the fruit of our doings. That is the wages of our sin. That is the judgment to come. And that is what we deserve. We truly deserve that outside of Jesus Christ. And that is how he will judge everyone outside of Jesus. You know, you see that, you see that in Revelation. You go to the great white throne and in the judgment there. And what happens? The dead are judged out of the books. There's records. There's records in there. And God's records are perfect and they're flawless and there isn't anything missing. And those books are opened and to show all of the things that they have done wrong. They're not there to outweigh the good and the bad. They're there to demonstrate all of the guilt. And they're going to open the books of guilt. And that guilt is going to be plainly declared, and there isn't going to be any excuses. And so we see that judgment of God, that it is perfect, and that he certainly will not judge us the way that we would judge ourselves. So now let's go back now to Romans with those two ideas in mind, that God is holy and that God's judgment isn't like man's judgment. We'll go back to Romans 3 now and verse 21. We'll see here that God is the just justifier. He's the just justifier. And I find these passages to be very interesting because they are declaring the righteousness of God to forgive sinners. God is righteous to forgive sinners. God is just to forgive sinners. And we see that declared in these scriptures here. And so we see the justice of God in salvation, that he is a good and just judge. To let the guilty sinner go free, because through Jesus, he is made innocent. Through Jesus, he is declared not guilty. Through the blood of Christ, God can justly, rightly let the sinner go free. Because Jesus took that took the payment for that sin, and he took the punishment of that sin on our behalf. So God is the just justifier. In verses 21 and 22 there of Romans 3, it says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." So we're looking now at this righteousness of God, and it is by faith of Jesus Christ. We are made righteous by faith in Jesus Christ, and God remains righteous in his forgiveness of us through Jesus Christ and through faith in Jesus Christ. So we see this righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. So faith in Jesus is how God can justly justify sinners. And that is the thing that so many people miss. They think, well, God will just forgive me. Well, no, God can't forgive you outside of Jesus Christ because he is holy and just and good. And it would be wrong for him to let the guilty go free. He must punish sin. He must punish the guilty. Else he would not be a just judge. He would not be good and light and holy. And so only through Jesus Christ can the guilty sinner go free. And so, oh, how important it is to communicate that idea to people that God can't let you go free, else he'd be an unjust judge. He's a good judge and a perfect judge, and so he will rightly judge you. And if you are outside of Jesus, you will be judged according to your sins. But in Christ, he is just, and he is righteous to forgive you and to let you go free. That is a wonderful thing, a wonderful truth, and we need to understand it well and to be able to declare that well, that we need Jesus to be our substitute. We need Jesus to be our Savior. Else there's no way we can be forgiven. So sinners are redeemed in Jesus. In verses 23 to 24 there, it says, "For all have sinned." Every one of us. We've all done, we are coming to this world with a fallen nature. You see, God deals with us with representative heads. Man is dealt with a representative head. Adam is our representative head. And when he fell, all mankind fell in Adam. And we have all been born under the curse of sin and in that condemnation of Adam. And Jesus, then, is the representative head of the believer. And in him we are redeemed. And so under those two representative heads, that's where we are. We're either in Adam or we're in Christ. And so we're going to be dealt with according to sin, or we're going to be dealt with according to the righteousness of Christ and by faith in him. So God is the just justifier, and in Jesus there is redemption. Sinners are redeemed in Jesus. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. See, there's redemption. There is redemption in Jesus Christ. We can be bought back from sin. Redemption, the idea of redemption is a lot like if you did something wrong and the police came and took your car or something and impounded it. And then you've got to go and you've got to buy that thing back. It was yours, but you lost it because you did something wrong. And so because you did something wrong legally, that you lost your privileges to that vehicle. It was taken and was impounded. Now you've got to go buy it back. Even though it's yours, you've got to buy it back. You've got to redeem it. That's redemption. You see, because of sin, we have lost our standing with God. And we have been cast out of the presence of God. And so only through the redemption of Jesus Christ can we be brought back into a right relationship with God. We have to be redeemed from sin, bought back. And that's what Jesus does. He buys us back and brings us back to a right relationship with God. And so sinners are redeemed in Jesus. I have an old 1828 Webster dictionary. It's a reprint of that, but I love it because a lot of times it uses the scriptures as its authority for its definition. I love a dictionary that uses the Bible to define words, and so that's why I like the 1828 dictionary. But redemption, repurchase of captured goods or prisoners, the act of procuring the deliverance of prisoners or things from the possession and power of captors by payment of an equivalent. Ransom, release, as the redemption of prisoners taken in war, the redemption of a ship and cargo. So it's buying back something that was lost. You're buying that back. So Jesus buys us back. We have been lost because of our own sins, and we have been cast away because of sin, but Jesus buys us back. So Jesus buys us back by paying off the sin debt, that which we owe to God. Because of our sin, that sin debt that we have before God, Jesus paid it all. He pays that off. So we're bought back by the redemption that's in Jesus. The next thing we notice is that in verses 25 and 26, Jesus is the sacrifice that declares God's just salvation. Verses 25 and 26, it says, speaking of Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. That propitiation is an atoning sacrifice. It is an atoning sacrifice. It makes the way possible. So, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness. Jesus Christ, the death of Jesus Christ for sinners, is a declaration of the righteousness of God. It is the declaration of the righteousness of God to forgive sinners. It is declared through the death of Christ that God is just to forgive those who trust in Jesus. It says, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. That is all those Old Testament saints that were saved by grace and looking forward to the Messiah. It was through the forbearance of God that they were saved. And it is God is righteous to do that and not to judge them in their sins because of the coming Savior. And it declares his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, in the present, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So Jesus Christ is a declaration of the righteousness of God. This is how God can justly let the guilty go free. Because in Jesus they are made innocent. Because Jesus redeems them. Jesus pays their debt. They have no more legal obligation towards sin. Jesus paid it all. He redeemed them through his death. And so God can justly let the guilty go free. Because he's made them innocent through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so this is a declaration of God's righteousness. God is righteous, He is holy, He is light, and He remains so through the death of Jesus Christ, that substitutionary death of Christ. And so that is something so important for people to understand. You know, thinking that, well, God will just forgive me. No, you need to understand that there's a legal matter. You need to understand that there is a matter of right and wrong. And God cannot do anything that is wrong. And to let you go free without just cause, when you are still guilty, is wrong. He can't do that. And so only through Jesus can you be made free. Only through Jesus can you be declared innocent and just and right before Him. And that is why He sent His Son. I mean, think about it. Why would he send His Son to die if there was any other way? If He could just forgive us, if He could just say, "Well, you can just come, you can just, I'll just forgive you when you get here," you know, after you die, and I'll just let it slide. Why in the world would He send His Son? That's just foolish thinking. That's just the devil, and that's just man coming up with schemes to dream up a God and a way of salvation that they want to live their old lives, to not repent, to not turn to Christ. It's just their excuse to do things their way and to rebel against God. And they're saying, "Well, God will just let it slide." No, He's not going to let it slide. It's only through Jesus that we can be saved. There would have been another way. There is no other way. It's only through Jesus. So, Jesus is that propitiation. He's that atoning sacrifice which declares and demonstrates the righteousness of God to forgive sins. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus, God may justly justify believing sinners. And so, in conclusion, God may not allow the guilty to go free. But God, in His mercy and grace, may justly forgive sinners through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And we'll stop with that. And Brother Brad, would you dismiss us with prayer?